Alpha Amara. Chapter 21. Genes. Amara. Minerva has been pacing in my head ever since we left the dining room. She didn't like the way one of the unmated females was looking at Theseus, and I have to do my best not to laugh at her. Why can't some females wait for their fated mate? She growls, and we both know I don't have the answer either. Sometimes a male or a female takes a chosen mate after their first mate died and they have been waiting years for a second chance mate. Those are the ones we can all understand. It is the ones that take a chosen mate just because of the rank that we don't understand. Females usually take a chosen mate to get a high-ranking mate, and males tend to take a chosen mate when they think they might get a weak fated mate. But when it comes to fated mates, they are never weak, as a fated mate is the one that will strengthen you. If a male or a female thinks their fated mate is weaker than them, they reject them in most cases, but I have known werewolves and lycans that took the time to get to know their fated mate, and in the end none of them rejected their fated mate. My mother was an Omega in a pack my father visited a few years before he took over from my grandfather. Her Alpha told Dad to reject Mom as she was just an Omega. Mom told me she expected him to reject her, but everyone had been stunned when Dad announced loudly, "I, Atlas, the future Alpha of White Crescent Pack, accept you, Anthea, as my mate, and Luna." I never knew about this, and Dad told me that Mom's former pack still holds a grudge, and it had taken my grandfather a lot of talking and some threats to get Mom's parents and younger sister out of that pack as well. In the end, it was an alliance between our packs that resolved the issue, but it was torn up when I took over as Alpha. Minerva growls in my head as Eos tells us what happened in the dining room after we left, and Delia is staring at her with wide eyes as Eos recounts the story Midas told. Alastor is laughing his ass off, and I actually smile as I hear that Midas did as the female's father had demanded. Ione decides to crash with Eos and Rhea to give me some time to myself, and I sit down in an armchair in front of the window, just letting my mind wander to my two matches today. I didn't ask anyone to watch the others' competitors fight. I don't need to know their weakness, as my name will be drawn last every time. Minerva keeps bringing up images of Theseus, and I try to get her mind of the man that has been haunting my dreams since the first time I saw him. Before I started our exercise, I had only glanced at the males, but after we left the clearing I took in all the males, and Minerva had asked me if I was finally considering a chosen mate. If tomorrow we don't find our second chance mate, maybe we could ask Alpha Theseus. Minerva says, and I ask her why not one of the other men. Ajax is a beta, 6'3 with blonde hair and marble gray eyes. Apollo is just a tad taller at 6'4 with dark brown hair and pure hazel eyes. All men are taller than my 5'11, as Xanthos is 6'3 with light brown hair and hazel eyes, and Midas is also 6'3 with dark blonde hair and gray eyes, but Theseus is the tallest of them with his 6'5, jet black hair and ocean blue eyes. I think that is also the reason why Minerva mentioned him. Neither one of us wants a chosen mate, but we love to tease the other with asking or talking about it, and I know Minerva would never try to convince me to take Alpha Theseus as our chosen mate. Not with him being Damian's brother, and I doubt Theseus would accept knowing what his baby brother did to me. Minerva and I talk about tomorrow, which is in less than 30 minutes, and if this time we might be lucky enough to find him, if we can finally start a future we have wanted for many years now. I just hope it is not a male with the same ideas as Alpha Crius, I say. Minerva roars so unexpectedly I can't stop it from escaping my throat, and I know the entire hotel heard her. I just smile as my friends and family rush into my room. Sorry, I think I annoyed Minerva a little too much by telling her I hope we don't find a mate like Alpha Crius. Ione. I decide to give Amara some time to herself. She needs to be alone on the night our full moon days start, and I always make sure no one disturbs her. It is a reminder of the night Damian rejected her, and if she is not by herself it can get ugly. Eos and Rhea are discussing the men from Dark Mountain Pack, and Melia is in stitches as Eos speaks out the hope that each of us will be mated to one of them. She even has us paired up with them. Okay, who did you pair together? I ask, but I know I am going to regret it. Well, I thought it for a while and I needed to deal with a few scenarios before I had it perfect. Amara is an alpha of her pack, so I figured Theseus was out. Yas is looking very serious as she speaks and walks back and forth at the end of the bed. Then Ajax as a beta would be the perfect match, but then I figured she would kick his ass within a day and that wouldn't be good for their relationship. We try to keep our laughter in, but it is of no use with the mischievous look Eos gives us and we all know she is pulling our chains. However, I would appreciate it if the goddess did pair us with them. I mean, there is five of them and five of us and our packs are neighbors. The moment the words leave her mouth we all know the problem with what she said, shit, I forgot. No, the goddess can't be that cruel. Eos whispers and I ask her if Alpha Theseus strikes her as a male that would turn her over, especially after he hears her story. We all know he won't as he is known to be a fair but strict alpha and ally. He would probably go and find Khonsu to kick his ass and tell him to stay away from Asteria, unless he wants to go to war with Alpha Theseus. We all laugh as we think about Amara being mated to Theseus and Damian being faced with her every single day. Damian must know he threw away the grand prize for a mediocre prize, someone with no use to him whatsoever if Theseus ever finds his chosen mate. We saw their pup this morning and he will one day take over Dark Mountain Pack if Theseus doesn't find his second chance mate or takes a chosen mate. I don't think Amara would like to be confronted with that little bitch, I don't think I would like that either. Melia growls and we know that none of us will like it much, but she is mated to Damian and therefore Theseus' sister-in-law. If the goddess decides to pair us together we will find a way to deal with Damian and his mate. Okay, so if Eos gets what she wants we know of at least three who they will be mated to, but what about Eos and Rhea? I mean who do you think will be best suited for Eos or Rhea? Melia asks as she looks at me, I am the only one that can see the look in her eyes and I know exactly what she is thinking. Well, let's see. Which combination will make the cutest pups? I say as I look from Eos to Rhea, auburn and light brown or auburn and dark blonde. That could make some interesting pups. I muse as I keep looking from Eos to Rhea, but a mighty roar keeps me from speaking any further. We all recognize the roar and we rush out the door of our room to bolt into Amara's room with her family right behind us. Eos nearly chokes in laughter as Amara tells us why Minerva was roaring and I hear Delia mumble you at her words. Eos, let's hope you're right, because that will at least solve that problem. Rhea states and I know Amara will demand an explanation the moment she has sent her family from the room. Atla seems to understand Amara wants answers we will not give as long as they are still in the room. Sweetheart, don't stay up too long. Alpha Theseus and his men will be here at 11. He says before he guides his mate out of the room and Delia is pulling Alastor with her. Alastor grew up with us and he knows that Rhea's remark probably has a good story behind it. Amara stares at Eos for a while until Eos gets uncomfortable and finally tells her what we had been discussing in our room. Amara starts laughing the more Eos tells her and she is rolling on the bed by the time she gets to the start of our discussion on who would be mated to Eos, Xanthos or Midas. And what was the outcome? Amara asks and Rhea tells her how far we got on that subject. Okay, let me clarify something. Hair color is determined by genes and not by your hair color and that of your mate. I actually know that she is right, but it had been fun teasing Eos and Rhea. Alpha Amara Chapter 22 First Mate. Chapter 22 First Mate. Theseus. With Damian and Penelope on their way to her father's pack and two of my warriors to escort them we no longer have to share rooms. I don't mind sharing a room with Ajax or Apollo, but right now I just need some time to myself. I practically ran to the elevator to get to our suite. I didn't need any other female to ask me if I want to stay and I knew my men felt the same way. None of the females in that dining room at that moment held any interest for us and Linus would have objected loudly if I had taken one up on their silent offer. I was glad Midas was able to shut the female down, even though he might have tried to use a little more tact and then I really mean just a little more tact. I doubt she or her father would have understood diplomacy. It probably would have made her more determined to stay close to me and Linus would not have taken that kindly. I have already received 3 messages from my father and I know that he is aware of the fact that Damien is no longer here, but he has no idea where he went or why he left. Adamus knows my trip is taking a little longer and I actually got the impression that he was happy he would be in control of our pack business a little longer. He is the right man for the job, at least now you know you won't find any surprises. Linus says, and we both remember the day we finally figured out what father had been doing, or should I say wasn't doing. With the way he and my mother spend money, I figured we were doing great when it came to finances. Only to find out that it was their spendings that nearly caused us to go bankrupt. He hadn't even tried to hide it very well, and sometimes I wonder if he wanted to get caught. Is he still waiting for the day I will finally figure it out and reveal what he did to the pack? Maybe if I can get a few more answers tomorrow from Alpha Amarat, I might just out him in front of the entire pack and at the same time reveal that Damien won't be coming back, even though I have a feeling not many will be sorry to see him go. Linus had perked up the moment I thought of Amarat, and he recalls the image of her bare back in that outfit of hers, making both of us growl again at the thought of all those men looking at her. I hope the goddess gives her a second chance, mate, that will treat her the way she deserves. Like we would. Linus states, and I roll my eyes at him as he has a huge grin on his face. What? We would treat her a whole lot better than most of the high-ranking wolves present here today. He growls, and I can't argue with him on that. I know we would treat her a whole lot better. I am not sure if she would want us as a second chance, mate. Damien is my baby brother and we both know what he did to her. I reply, and for a moment Linus is quiet. I doubt she would reject us for that reason, and next to that you banished Damien from the pack, she won't have to deal with him if she doesn't want to. Damn, that Lycan of mine can sometimes act smart. Linus chuckles as he hears my thoughts, and I see a smug look on his face. Yep, he is damn proud of himself. Apollo. Midas really put that female in her place, but I have to say I hadn't recognized her until he brought up the conference, and I don't think the others had recognized her either. Thinking back, I remember that at first she had struck me as a pack whore that the Alpha had brought along for his men. She had been wearing a very short red skirt that barely covered her ass, and the red tank top barely covered her breasts. She had completed her look with an updo on her hair and high heels. It wasn't until she told me she was there with her father that I realized she was looking for a chosen mate. I had been her first target, and when I told her I was a gamma, she nearly ran away. I had warned the others through the mind link, and after hitting on Ajax and Xanthos, she had made her way over to Midas and Theseus. Midas had told us through the mind link not to refer to Theseus as our alpha and to warn him the moment we were safe in our room. He had taken the female to a room we had rented for Josh, and he was told to stay away until further notice. Whether or not Midas actually had sex with the female, I don't know. He would always say, "I don't kiss and tell," and no matter what, he never talked about that night. Theseus says that Midas changed after that night, and at first we didn't believe him, but after watching him for a few days we realized that Theseus was right. His face turns a bit hard whenever we talk about meeting our fated mates or when a female comes onto him, but other than that he is still the same guy. Midas is pacing in the living room of our suite, and I decide this is as good of a time as any to get some answers. "Midas, when are you finally going to tell us what happened that night?" I ask him, and the others look at me in surprise. We hadn't asked that question for a long time. He stops dead in his tracks, just staring out of the window, and I expect that he will not answer my question. She was my fated mate and rejected me when she found out I was just a Delta. Midas says without looking at any of us. She still is a power-hungry female, and I am glad she didn't get her hands on Theseus. Theseus. Apollo opens the link as he asks Midas a question we all want an answer to, but he has never answered it until today, that is, and when I hear his answer I jump of the bed to head for the living room. As I step into the living room, a mighty roar has the 5 of us looking at one another, but we have no idea where it came from. Maybe she finally told her father the truth. Xanthos offers, and Midas actually starts laughing. Yezev. You think she will tell him she fucked her fated mate and then rejected him because he is just a Delta? Xanthos stares at him for a moment before he starts laughing as well. We all try to imagine how a conversation like that might go, and it doesn't take long before we are all in stitches. Ajax and Xanthos try to reenact how the conversation might have gone, and it gets worse by the minute. Midas has tears rolling down his face, while Apollo is holding onto his stomach. It has been a long time since we have been this relaxed, and I truly hope that tomorrow my men will find their fated mate, in Midas' case a second chance mate. I would like to find ours as well. Linus states, and I tell him, from your mouth to the goddess' ears. After we have calmed down, we just sit in the living room and talk about the day we just had. Xanthos has a strange look on his face as if he is miles away. Ajax pulls him from his thoughts as he throws a pillow at him and asks him where he was. Thinking about Alpha Amara's friends, I wouldn't mind if one of them is my fate's mate. Not so sure if Alpha Amara would like to lose one of her friends to our pack, not that she would stop her friend from happiness. Xanthos says, and Ajax tells him he wouldn't mind that either. I look at Midas as Apollo asks Xanthos who he would prefer, but Xanthos is a smart man when it comes to answering that question, whoever the goddess pairs me with. Apollo just stares at him, and Ajax chuckles at his dumbfounded expression. After my first mate, I thought I had had enough of females, but I think I wouldn't mind one of them as my second chance. The way they respect their alpha tells me that they are not power hungry. Midas says, and for a while we discuss Alpha Amara and her friends. Ajax asks me who I think is her beta and gamma, and I let the males run through my mind to see who would fit those ranks. There were 4 males with her at the competition. We discuss each of them, but it is difficult to figure out which male takes up which rank. One of them is definitely a delta according to Ajax. He lacks the authority of a beta or gamma, but his whole demeanor is that of a high-ranking warrior, and that is why I think he is one of her deltas. None of us argue with his explanation. It is after midnight when we finally turn in for the night. Our first contact with any females while be with Alpha Amara and her family and friends. I hope my men will find one of them to be their mates. They will make my men happy, and my men will do anything for those females. As will we for our second chance mate. Linus tells me, and with those words running through my mind, I slowly dropped off to sleep. Alpha Amara Chapter 23 Annoying Wolves. Chapter 23 Annoying Wolves. Amara. Minerva woke me up at 7 this morning. She was pacing in my head and she seemed a bit off. I don't think she has ever acted like that before, and I have been asking her over and over again what is wrong with her, but Minerva doesn't have answers for me. I have asked her if there was danger around, but according to her everything is fine, and when I asked Miles through the mind link he confirmed that everything was fine. I asked her if something was wrong with Alastor, but she told me he was fine, and I even took a risk by linking him to ask him if he was okay. Ione walks into my room to announce that breakfast will be served shortly, and I can tell that she is not there completely either. What is wrong, Ione? I ask her, and soon we are discussing why our wolves are acting so strange. Well, it is not just ours. Eos, Rhea, and Melia are experiencing the same thing with their wolves. She states. Minerva, could it be that you are sensing our second chance mate? I know we can't smell him if he is not close by, but could you be able to sense him? I ask her, and she tilts her head to the left as she thinks about my question. I am still waiting for her answer when I walk into the dining room of our suite. Mom can tell I am debating something with Minerva, and she asks if she might be of some help, so I ask her the same question I asked Minerva. Mom has a small smile on her face as she says, "My wolf was the same the day I met your father. We didn't understand it at that moment, and it took us a while to see it. But looking back on how she felt and what happened that day, we both agreed that it had to do with finding our fated mate. You know the entire story of that day, and in a few hours all of you will. When I tell you my story of the day I found my mate, you will understand this a whole lot better." Mom says. Mom is right, I know the entire story, and as I replay it in my head I realize what she meant. Her wolf had been acting strange as well. She had even thought for a moment that someone else might have been her fated mate, but luckily she had had enough control over her wolf to stop her from doing something stupid. Knowing Mom's background and the way she was raised, I know it wasn't that strange for her wolf to almost make that mistake, but I am glad it all turned out the way it was supposed to. Mom, are you sure you want to tell everyone? I ask her, even though I already know the answer. I just want to give her a way out of this if she doesn't want anyone else to know what almost happened that day. She tells me she is sure that everyone deserves to know the truth about a few things and that it will clarify another subject not many know the truth about. Theseus. Linus, stop acting like an idiot. I can't make heads or tails from your behavior and quite frankly it is driving me nuts. I growl at my wolf for the umpteenth time this morning. The damn idiot woke me at 7 in the morning and he doesn't even have an explanation for it. Midas walks into the dining room of our suite and he looks as if he is about to rip someone a second asshole, but I can't imagine he would be that angry with one of us. Midas, what has you so agitated? I ask him. All I get is a growl as he fills his mug with coffee and I know I won't get an answer until he has finished his coffee. My wolf is annoying as hell. He growls the moment he has emptied his mug and I tell him to join the club. Within minutes all my men tell me their wolves are acting strange and it is something none of us have felt before. It reminded me of when I met my first mate, but somehow this felt different as well. So, as I already said, it makes no sense at all. I ask Midas if he felt something like this before, yes and no. He answers. It reminds me of when I met my first mate, but it also feels different. If that makes any sense at all. He growls and I actually understand what he means by that. My phone ringing halts our conversation and I put it on speaker when I see the caller ID, Josh, how did it go? I ask him. Well, her father accepted them without much arguing. Harvard was there as well and I think he told his father what happened all those years ago. I have to warn you though, Damien called your father the moment he was across pack borders and I could hear that your father was not amused. He even tried to order me to take Damien and Penelope back with me, but I told him I only follow my alpha's orders. I can hear a chuckle in the background, which I assume is from Neil. Thanks for the heads up. We will turn our phones to silent, so send a message if you need to talk to any one of us and we will call you back the moment we see it. I tell Josh before I disconnect the call. My men already turned the sound off on their phones and I do it before I put it back on the table. It only takes a moment before I see my phone light up and the caller ID for my father is shown on the screen, but I ignore it as I dig into my food. By the time we are finished with breakfast, I have 3 missed calls from my father and my men each have 1 missed call from him. During breakfast we talked about Alpha Amarok and White Crescent Pack. I hope she can answer some of the questions we all have and I plan on using the afternoon to talk to some other alphas. My father left behind a bigger mess than I thought and even though it is no excuse, my need to get our finances back on track kept me from looking further. Delia. I am listening to Amara talk about Minerva's behavior and it reminds me of Yala's behavior on the day I met Alastair. She had been acting different from usual. It had become annoying the longer it lasted and we couldn't figure it out either that day. That was of course until the door of the SUV opened and I smelt Alastair's scent. Looking back, it all makes sense. Yala was so happy to find our mate that she didn't allow me to dwell on the past and made me jump into Alastair's arms, not that I am holding it against her. Alastair is the best thing that ever happened to me and I still thank the goddess every day for giving me the strength to run away. I am still grateful for Alpha Mason and his brother. They found me a pack that was willing to take me in and they were willing to escort me. My father and Alpha Cryus made it pretty difficult for me to leave. They were constantly watching the borders and I wish I could have seen the look on their faces when they figured out Alpha Mason fooled them. A pack member had volunteered to wear some of my clothes and she would stay with the 2 warriors that had been with me from day one. They walked out of the pack house that morning as I had done every morning and led my father and Alpha Cryus away from where I was with Tycho. The moment he got the all clear from Alpha Mason, we made a run for it and 30 minutes later we were in the SUV that brought me to my future. I really hope that the behavior of their wolves has everything to do with finding their fated mates. Each of them deserve to finally be complete, and I truly hope they find mates that can handle their positions in life. When Alastair told me what had happened to Amarat, I asked him how she survived that ordeal. I know that after hearing what Minerva did, I should be terrified of her, but I am not. Amara has been kind to me from the moment we met, and she will go through hell and back for me. I still have to remind myself every day that I am no longer living with my father and that my opinion matters to the people around me. Mom will never leave my father, and I have to come to terms with the fact that after today I might never see her again. Alastair can feel the turmoil inside me as he pulls me closer. He doesn't say anything as he knows where my mind is going. We talked about this last night, and he told me that he will find a way to tell my mom if she ever wants to get away from my father. All she has to do is go to Alpha Mason. We both agreed that she probably wouldn't take him up on that offer, but Alastair feels obligated to make the offer anyway. He asked me how I felt seeing all of them again, and I could honestly tell him I no longer felt fear for any of them. I told Alastair that that was why I asked Amara if I could answer the unmated mails that came to our table. Alastair laughed his ass off as we both remembered how my father and Alpha Crius reacted. Which reminds me, I have to thank Alpha Theseus and his men when I get the chance today. Alpha Amara Chapter 24 Time Bomb. Chapter 24 Time Bomb. Damien. Joseph is talking to Penelope about visiting her parents, but the boy doesn't understand that he will never go back to Dark Mountain Pack again. Unless it is to visit my parents, of course, and only if Theseus agrees to let us visit. My mind wanders back to the woman that ruined my life in more ways than one. I saw her that day as she walked around the garden, but she looked like a china doll in that dress, and I needed a female that could take care of herself. Not in a million years would I have figured that she was Alpha Atlas' daughter, or that she was the future heir to White Crescent Pack. Fuck, if only I had known, I would have been leading White Crescent Pack now. Instead, I am stuck with a mate that annoys the hell out of me and a son that is no longer of any use to me. Theseus made it clear Joseph will never take over the pack from him. Penelope and I have both asked Neil and Josh for their phones to contact Penelope's father, but neither one of them is acknowledging our presence in the SUV. The only one that gets answers out of them is Joseph, and he only asks them stupid, irrelevant questions. I wonder if we will stop for the night at a motel or hotel, but knowing the trip will take us hours, I doubt it. Neil and Josh probably want to get rid of us as fast as they can, and I hope I will be able to call Dad before they leave, so he can order them to take me and Penelope back with them. Mommy, why was that woman so mad at Daddy? Joseph asks, and everyone in the SUV goes quiet. Penelope asks him what he is talking about, and he tells us he saw the match on a screen. She looked really mad at Daddy when she walked into the arena. He says, "Fuck, my own pup saw me get my ass handed to me by a female." My wolf chuckles in my head. It is the first I have heard from him since Amara kicked my ass. Penelope and I don't know how to answer this question, but I wish I had been able to stop Neil from responding. Your dad really hurt her. Do you remember what Uncle Theseus told you about fated mates? Neil asks, and Joseph just nods his head. I had been there that day, and I still wish I could have stopped Theseus from telling Joseph. Joseph had been asking questions about fated mates for nearly a week after that, and everyone had been more than willing to answer all of his questions. Joseph even announced he would wait for his fated mate just like his uncle and his men. She was your dad's fated mate, and he rejected her for your mother. Neil states, and Joseph just looks between me and his mom, but he doesn't say a word. He doesn't speak a word after that, and I wonder when the bomb is going to explode. We make a few short stops along the way, and each time we are allowed out of the SUV one by one, but they don't allow Joseph to exit the SUV. Not that he wants to or can, because he is fast asleep. Penelope keeps giving him worried looks, and I know she is wondering as well when he will blow up. It is near 8 in the morning when we finally reach Penelope's old pack, and Neil pulls to a stop about 20 feet away from the gate. He locks the doors the moment Josh is out of the vehicle, and we watch him walk towards the gate to talk to the guards. After a few minutes, an SUV stops on the other side of the gate, and Penelope's father and brother get out. We can hear them greet Josh as Neil cracked open the windows a little and Harver asks him why they don't come in for a while, but Josh tells him that he is following Alpha's orders. Alpha Theseus requests you take your daughter, her mate, and her son into your pack, if you don't he will turn them rogue. They are not allowed to visit Dark Mountain Pack without the approval of Alpha Theseus. Reason for this punishment has to do with the fact that Damien rejected his fated mate. I have a feeling Harver already showed you how he did that and I can tell you that Alpha Theseus was not amused at all. He also decided that Joseph will not be taking over Dark Mountain Pack if Alpha Theseus dies without an heir. Josh tells my father-in-law and I can tell that the males are not pleased. Of course I will take in my daughter, her mate, and my grandson. You can tell your Alpha that if he ever wants to see his nephew he can ask me for permission to visit them. I chuckle at the words of my father-in-law, he never liked my brother and he is not afraid to show it to anyone. Josh walks back to the SUV to get our bags from the trunk, while Penelope rushes towards her father with Joseph in her arms and the moment I am near Harver I ask him for his phone. I call my dad to inform him of what Theseus has done, but I don't tell him why Theseus did it. I had put the phone on speaker and dad tries to order Josh to bring us home, but Josh just says, I am following my Alpha's orders. If you don't like it I suggest you contact him yourself. Before he turns on his heel and walks back to the SUV without looking back for a second. Dad is still cussing and swearing as I walk back to the pack house with Harver, I told Penelope I needed some time to myself and I am glad she accepted it without questioning me. I disconnect the call when Dad tells me that he will talk to Theseus. Do you know that every wolf at the competition saw how you rejected Alpha Amara? Harver asks and I have to tell him I was knocked unconscious by her. He grabs his phone to push a few buttons and seconds later I am watching footage from the night I rejected my mate. Fuck. She really got her revenge, didn't she? I ask no one in particular as I return the phone to Harver. Theseus' reaction is making more sense now that I know she released that footage and I know that there will be nothing Dad can say to make him change his mind. Theseus had a fated mate once and he can't understand why anyone would settle for anything other than a fated mate, but I know I could never be faithful to any female. I love how every female reacts differently to the things I do to them and some things Penelope will never allow me to do to her. Neil. I wasn't surprised to find out that Penelope was not his fated mate, but I was surprised to find out that he actually found his fated mate and the way he rejected her. I think I can find at least three males in our pack that slept with Penelope after Joseph was born, not that I will tell my Alpha. Hearing my Alpha tell them their punishment makes me want to chuckle, but I keep my face straight as I see both of them pale and I send Simon a message to make sure most of their belongings will be packed by the time we get back home. Jeanette will make sure it is done in secret as she can do a lot without anyone finding out, with anyone I actually mean our former Alpha. Josh had a smile on his face when Joseph asked about Alpha Amara and it got bigger as I told him the truth. I know they are his parents, but I also know Joseph wants a fated mate and I hope he will be able to stand up to his parents when the day comes that he will have to make a choice. Damon can order all he wants, but it won't do him any good as he is no longer our Alpha and I chuckle as I hear Josh put him in his place. I chuckle again as he recounts what happened to Alpha Theseus and I hope Damon won't give us too much grief when we return home. After talking to our Alpha Josh calls Simon to let him know that they have turned their phones to silent and Simon demands he tells him all that happened. Simon sounds a lot happier and I know it has everything to do with Jeanette, they are a great couple. Jeanette is already packing their stuff and everything of value is put in Alpha Theseus' room, just to make sure Damon or Gaia don't get their hands on it. Remind me there is something I need to discuss with Alpha Theseus when he gets back, not that it will change anything in Damien's punishment. It is just something I want him to know, just in case they ever come here to visit. Simon says and it takes us a few tries before he confides in us. Josh is growling and I am grabbing the steering wheel to keep my wolf from pushing forward. If that idiot sets foot on pack grounds again I know of at least three wolves that will give him hell and I'm afraid even our Alpha won't be able to stop it, Not that I believe he will try to stop it as long as Damien keeps breathing. Theseus might join us once he hears what Simon has to say. I can't believe he actually did that to her or that she actually went back for more, not that I can blame him for liking it that way. I remember the first time a female asked me to do it to her and my first instinct was to run out the door, but I am glad I didn't. From time to time I still pay the female a visit, we both need a sexual release from time to time and we know there are no strings attached. She lost her mate almost 15 years ago, but still hasn't found her second chance mate and I am still looking for my fated mate. Alpha Amara Chapter 25 The Past. Chapter 25 The Past. Penelope. Over 5 years ago Dad told me we had gotten an invitation to celebrate that Alpha Atlas and Luna Anthea had been leading their pack for 40 years, that it be an opportunity for me to find a mate and that he wouldn't settle for anything less than an alpha for his princess. Dad always called me his princess and he spoiled me rotten over the years as I was the only female among four males, my brothers all did the same as I was the Benjamin in the family. I never knew our mom and I believe that is the reason why they spoiled me. My brothers had known our mom as they had grown up and mom and dad had given up on having another pup, but when Harvard was 15 mom had gotten pregnant again. Everyone was hoping for a female this time around and they had gotten what they had hoped for, but at a very high price. Mom had died giving birth to me, but not once have I felt as if anyone held it against me. My brothers and our dad always told me that I would become a Luna one day and dad made sure I knew what the duties of a Luna were, I did most of them for our pack as dad never took another mate. I had bought a sexy red dress with matching high heels, the dress was made of lace with a deep plunging V-neck and flared from the waist to end mid-thigh. Harvard and Jane helped me pick it out as dad trusted them with it the most and both of them knew what dad wanted for me. My two oldest brothers were barely talking to Dad and Harvard at that time as neither of them understood why anyone would take a chosen mate over a fated mate, they didn't like that Dad was leading me down that path as well and they tried to convince me that a fated mate would be better for me. I always knew I wanted a chosen mate, because that meant I could have a mate with a high rank and if I would wait for my fated mate I might end up with an Omega. Even my wolf couldn't stand the thought of that. Like me my wolf wanted the lifestyle we were raised with and neither of us wanted to risk getting less. When we got to the party we were informed that it was a surprise party and only a few packs had been invited. I saw that every male with a high rank that was present were males that had a mate already and I was disappointed to find out there were no unmated high-ranking males. That was until Dad linked me that he had met the Alpha of Dark Mountain pack and that he was willing to take me as a chosen mate. But it wasn't until after we left the pack house of White Crescent Pack that his words finally sank in. He hadn't used his alpha title to reject his fated mate and when I asked him about it I found out his brother was the alpha. I talked about it through the mind link with Dad and he told me to stay with Damien and go after his brother as we would both be living in the same pack house. I knew Dad was right, I was an alpha's daughter and a gorgeous female. I didn't think it would be hard to get Theseus in my bed, but damn I had been mistaken about that. Theseus had a fated mate once and knew what it felt like to have a fated mate, so he refused to settle for anything less than his second chance mate. Damien and I had Joseph 6 months later and when I tried to get in bed with my mate again he ignored me most of the time. At first it bothered me until I reminded myself I wanted his brother. Also the sex with Damien had always been a little tame for my taste. No matter what I tried Damien didn't get my hints when it came to our sex life, except maybe spell it out to him. Most of the time I had to think back to my first lover to get an orgasm, sometimes I even had to think of him to get heated enough to accept Damien when he wanted to sleep with me. Jane pulling me in for a hug pulls me from my thoughts and I give her a small smile as she asks me how I am doing. Jane knows me better than anyone in our family and I know she will insist on a little girl time tonight. Where is Damien? She asks and I tell her he is walking back with Harvard. She pulls me up the stairs as an Omega looks at me with an angry look and I wonder what that is all about. The moment she closes the door behind us she tells me that everyone knows how Damien rejected his fated mate and some of our pack members are angry with both of us. How was your time with Damien? I ask her as I look at the screen of her phone. If my mate thinks I am not aware of the fact he fucks my sister-in-law, then he is in for a big surprise. Jane had confided in me that Harver loves sharing her with another male or to watch as she gets fucked by another male. Thinking about that pulled me back to a time I was very curious about sex and especially about unmated males with an edge, a male that would take charge in the bedroom. It still turns me on thinking back to those days. I had just turned 16 when she had told me and I had asked her how that worked. She told me she would link me the next time it would happen. Which was only 2 days later and I watched as Harver and one of our warriors had taken her together. That scene is what I used that night to give myself an orgasm, but I knew I wanted to feel what a male could do to me and the next morning I had started my search for an unmated male. Most of the unmated males in our pack were crossed off my list quickly, for a variety of reason I might add and I had given up on losing my virginity when something unexpected happened. Dad and I went to visit my grandparents and his beta joined him as his sister was living in the same pack as my grandparents. Unfortunately Dad received a call from his gamma and he needed to go back home, but I didn't want to leave yet. His beta had offered to take me back with him as it would give me a few more days with my grandparents. On our way home we were spending the night in the same hotel as on the way over, but Dad had accidentally pulled the reservation on the second room and that meant I had to spend the night in a room with my father's beta. He assured me that he would sleep on the couch and I could take the bed. I knew I was safe with him as I had known him my whole life, so I didn't think twice about agreeing with him and we went up to the room to get some sleep before continuing our drive home. I had already gotten ready for the night and into the bed as he walked out of the bathroom in nothing but his boxers. He looked so damn hot in just his boxers and even though he was a few years younger than my dad you couldn't tell by looking at him. The image of him in his boxers kept playing in my mind and before I could stop it my panties were soaking wet, just from thinking about it. I was so engrossed in my thoughts I hadn't heard him walk over to the bed and I squealed as I heard him say, "You better stop whatever it is you are thinking about or you won't leave this room a virgin." I looked at him to see that he was very serious and just the thought of him taking my V-card turned me on even more. I heard him growl before he crawled onto the bed and he looked at me as if he wanted to give me a chance to stop him, but there was no way in hell I was going to stop him. He pulled me close to him as he slammed his lips to mine, one of his hands tangled in my hair as the other started to roam down my body. His tongue swiped my bottom lip and he took the chance to deepen the kiss as I gasped. His hand was kneading my breast and from time to time he would pinch my nipple gently. He gave both breasts the attention they needed and my breathing became heavier from the kiss and the attention he gave my breasts. I whimpered the moment he broke the kiss and he chuckled softly as he looked into my eyes, before he started placing kisses on my face. He kissed his way down to my neck, making his way over to the spot where I would have the mark from my mate one day. I moaned as he started to lick and suck on that spot and within seconds the room was filled with the scent of my arousal. His hand traveled further down my body as he kept licking and sucking my neck. I had been so preoccupied I hadn't even noticed that he had removed the sheet. That was until he placed himself between my legs and broke the kiss to let his eyes roam down my body. My breathing hitched as his eyes stopped on my soaking wet panties and I heard him groan as his hand slowly ran from my knees to my pussy. He ripped my panties out of the way as he kept staring at my core and I felt myself getting even wetter. Something I thought was impossible. My back arched of the bed as one of his fingers ran from my back door all the way up to my clit. He smirked at me as he repeated his ministration and I saw his eyes darken with lust as I moaned. He was driving me nuts with the slowness of his actions. He had put his thumb on my clit as his other hand had disappeared between our bodies and I moaned loudly as he slipped a finger into my pussy. "Fuck, this feels better than I thought it would." He mumbled and I had looked at him in surprise, "I have been wanting to do this ever since you turned 16, princess." He growled as he had started sliding his finger in and out of me, while he had pressed his thumb down on my clit. His ministrations had remained slow as he kept looking at my face and I had felt the heat in my body build up, until he told me to come which I did without thinking about it. He kept sliding his finger in and out of me until I had come down from my orgasm. Alpha Amara Chapter 26 Explosion. Chapter 26 Explosion. Penelope. I hadn't realized I had closed my eyes until they snapped open when he had put his cock against my entrance. Princess, this will hurt a little. I will take it slow, just try to relax. He had whispered as he watched his cock disappear into my core. My first instinct had been to get away from him as his cock stretched my pussy, but he had held onto my hips as he pushed deeper into me, and the moment his cock was touching my hymen he had slammed his cock into my core in one hard thrust. I had screamed as he broke my hymen, but the longer he had kept still the better I started to feel, and soon I had lifted up my hips. It had been all the initiative he had needed from my side as he started to pull his cock back, before he pushed it back into my body. Like before, he had kept his ministration slow and the heat had started building up once again. My breathing had become more labored the closer I had gotten to my orgasm. Fuck, princess. Your pussy feels so fucking delicious around my cock. I am going to come soon and I am going to come inside you. He grumbled. His words had made me clench around his cock as I had felt myself getting closer to the edge, and instead of backing away from him I told him to come inside me. I want to feel you come inside me, I want you to empty yourself inside my pussy. I had whispered, and that had pushed both of us over the edge. We had repeated this a few times that night before we finally fell asleep, and when I had woken up in the morning I had been sprawled over his chest. Good morning, princess. Just a friendly warning for the future, last night was your first time and I went easy on you. That stops right now. He growled as he had slammed me down on his cock. I had gasped at the intrusion, but he had not given me the time to adjust to his huge cock, and it had taken a few minutes before my body had gotten used to him slamming into my core. He used my body the way he wanted, and the harder he slammed into me the harder I moaned. It felt so fucking good, and it hadn't taken long before I had matched his rhythm. I had seen it the moment he was close to coming, and I had leaned forward to tell him to come inside me. He had been my first and until Damien my only one, but I had never felt myself come the way he could. None of the males in Dark Mountain Pack I fucked over the years could compare to him, and I am glad I am back home again. I just hope he didn't find a second chance mate after I left. Jane pulls me from my thoughts as she whispers in my ear, "Do you need me to get Cooper?" I smile at her as I smell my own arousal in the room, and I can feel that my panties are soaking wet, just from thinking about him. I can keep Damien occupied, and Joseph is with my mom as we speak. I think about it for a second, before I nod my head at her. I need to get fucked good and hard, and Cooper is the only one that can give it to me the way I like it. Maybe I should have told Dad I wanted him as my chosen mate instead of someone from another pack. Before my mind can wander, the door to my bedroom opens and Jane walks out of my room as Cooper walks in. He keeps looking at me as he slams the door shut behind him. "Hello, princess. Did you miss me?" Cooper asks as he grabs under my arms to slam me against the wall. My legs wrap around his waist the moment he lifts me off the bed, and I feel his cock press against my core as my back gets pressed against the wall. "Yes, I missed you," I whisper as I grind my hips. I love the feeling of his cock against my core. "I missed that little pussy of yours. I missed how it feels around my cock, and I intend to get familiar with it once more, princess," he whispers near my ear as he pushes his cock harder against my core. "I don't care if that mate of yours finds out, you are mine. Maybe if he is lucky I will let him watch as I take you in any way I want." I moan as he mentions Damien watching us, and the look on his face tells me he will make it happen. "Maybe we can do to you what he and Harver do to Jane. Share that tight little body of yours." I shatter as he presses his cock against my core again. Before Cooper and I can take this any further I hear my father's voice in my head, "Get to the living room now." Cooper quickly puts me on his feet as he tells me that Jane linked him. He kisses the top of my head before he walks out the door. I take a look in the mirror to see if I look okay, and I know I can blame my appearance on the fact that we were in an SUV all night. As I descend the stairs I hear Damien, "Joseph, buddy." He doesn't say anything further as I hear a thud. The further down the stairs I get, the more I can see and I know exactly what is going on. Joseph blew a gasket. Someone must have said something to set him off, and I have a feeling it was an answer to a question he asked, probably about fated mates. The moment I step into the living room, Harver pulls me behind him and a book Joseph threw barely misses me. Penelope, what is going on here? My father asks, and I know he expects an answer from me, but I am not sure I want to answer him with everyone present. Dad, I don't get to finish my sentence as another book flies through the room. You took Daddy away from his mate. Daddy hurt his mate for you. I don't want to be here, I don't want you as my parents. I hear Joseph growl, and as I look at him I see something I always brushed off as a myth. Everyone can see his wolf pushing forward, and both of them look seriously pissed off. Joseph pushes Damien out of the way as he stalks over to Harver, and even though he is only 5 years old I see Harver stiffen. Give me your phone. Joseph growls at him. Harver pulls his phone from his back pocket to hand it to Joseph, and without saying another word he walks out of the living room. I just stare after him, because I have no idea how to react to his outburst and I have no idea what he wants with Harver's phone. Damien. Harver and I were almost at the pack house when someone linked him and he told me we had to get to the pack house immediately, something about Joseph being upset. Fuck, he is blowing a gasket. I say to Jude, and my wolf tells me it is my own fault. I look at Harver the moment we see a book flying through the living room and we run in to find it wasn't the first one he had thrown. Jane stares at Joseph as her mother tries to calm him down. But every time someone says something to him another book goes flying. I try to calm him down, but it is of no use and I know the worst is still to come. I can't link Jane to ask her what happened because I am not part of this pack yet and that really sucks right now. I hear it the moment Penelope comes down the stairs and I try once more to calm him down. The book he throws flies by his mother as Harver is fast enough to pull her out of the way. My father-in-law asks a question and as Penelope starts to answer him Joseph throws another book her way. I listen to Joseph as he speaks and I see his wolf right in front with him, scaring the shit out of me. After he leaves the room we are all quiet for a few minutes and Penelope and Jane start putting the books back on the shelves. I think we are all stunned to find his wolf is already present. I want answers and I want them now. Elias growls. Maeve tells him she was in the living room with Joseph when he had asked about fated mates and that a few of the she-wolves present had told him how they had met their mate, how it felt to have a fated mate. Joseph asked what could happen if you reject your fated mate, and when I explained to him that it hurts the wolf and the human he lost it, but he wouldn't tell me why. I explained to Elias that Theseus told Joseph about fated mates about a year ago and how he had responded to it. He announced that he would wait for his fated mate just like everyone else, that he wanted to have what his parents had. Elias knows that Penelope and I are chosen mates and his next question stuns everyone to silence, how did he find out his parents are not a fated couple? Penelope tells him that one of the warriors that dropped us have answered a question he asked on the way over here. Maeve is mumbling under her breath and the look on her face doesn't predict anything good. Jane, I will be heading home. I always had my suspicions, but Joseph really opened my eyes. You made this choice for yourself and you will have to live with it, but I won't be a part of it. If you want to come for a visit, I suggest you leave Harver at home and I hope you understand that you will have to answer to your father about this. She says as she gets up to walk out of the room and I see Jane's face pale. Alpha Amara Chapter 27 Joseph. Chapter 27 Joseph. Theseus. We are about to leave our suite when my phone starts ringing and I see I have a video call from an unknown number. I pick up to be faced with a very angry looking little boy and I can see his wolf is right there with him. Joseph, are you okay? I ask. Apollo steps closer to me and soon I hear him over the mind link telling the others who I have on the phone. These, I don't want them as my parents. I want to come home. Joseph growls and I see that Xanthos is typing on his phone, but I have no idea with whom. Joseph, can you tell me what happened? I ask him, even though I have a feeling this has to do with what Josh told me and I think he connected a few dots on his own. He tells me what he has been feeling ever since I told him about my fated mate and how he felt something was off with his parents after that. He explains that after Neil told him the truth, he realized that his parents had lied to him his whole life and that certain things finally started to make sense, like his dad coming out of Harvard's room in the middle of the night. Or his mom coming out of the room of one of the warriors back home. When I saw Alpha Amara looking at Daddy, I knew he had hurt her in some way, but it wasn't until Luna Maeve told me that by rejecting her he hurt both her and her wolf that Griffin really pushed forward. We don't like what they did to her and if I can't come home we will run away. He answers me. Joseph, I am not saying you can't come home. We just need to find a way to get you home without starting a war with your grandfather. Do you understand that? I ask him and after a short silence he tells me he understands. A noise in the background makes him turn his head and soon Luna Maeve appears on my screen. Alpha Theseus, I will take him with me while you try to figure out a way to get custody. I will tell his parents it might be best if they are apart for a few days, that Joseph needs to come to terms with what he discovered today. I will tell them that as long as he is around them he will stay angry at them. Alpha Elias will help me convince them without realizing it. Appearance is everything to him and a little boy having tantrums is something he can do without. She says and I actually smile, because she is absolutely right. Luna Maeve, take my number from that phone and text me once the two of you are on your way to your pack. I am on my way to a very important meeting, a meeting I hope will give me a lot of answers I have been looking for. I say before we disconnect the call and I step into the elevator. We are all quiet as we make our way over to Alpha Amara's suite and the closer we get the more annoying Linus becomes. We can all tell that Midas is annoyed with his wolf and I assume he is dealing with the same thing I am, like it seems the rest is dealing with as well. Mate, mate. Linus yells in my head and I see my men have strange looks on their faces, let me guess. Your wolves are yelling mate. I say and forehead snap in my direction. Before I can say anything else the elevator ding sounds and the door slowly opens. Probably not as slowly as it seems to go, but with my mate on the other side of that door it can't open fast enough in my opinion. Apollo. Since midnight Roman has been acting strange, he is more restless than he has ever been before and I am getting so damn annoyed with him. I have been arguing with him every waking moment, but he won't back down and putting up a block doesn't help either. Seeing Joseph made him back down for a few minutes, but the moment we got in the elevator to go up to Alpha Amara's suite he came back full force and the higher the elevator rose the worse it got. The moment he starts yelling mate, mate. I finally understand. It looks as if our conversation from last night is about to come true and I am surprised to hear Theseus remark. I have to suppress a smile as I realize that he has also found his second chance mate, just like Midas. I see the impatient look on his face as the elevator doors open, probably not fast enough to his liking. Rhea. Livia, what the hell is going on with you? I ask my wolf, like my friends my wolf has been annoying me ever since midnight and I am slowly losing my patience with her. I don't know, Rhea. It feels as if something is about to change, but I am not sure if it is good or bad. She answers me. Amara has been pacing the living room for the last hour and every time someone says something to her she snaps, which is so not like her. I hope that whatever has Livia agitated will turn out to be something good, because I don't think I or Amara can handle anything else at the moment. Mate, mate Livia yells in my head and I know that there are only 5 males on their way up here, so I can narrow down who it might be quit fast. Amara, Ione, Eos, and Melia step into the hallway leading to the elevator at the same time as I do. I hear mumbling behind us, but I am not registering it as I hear the ding of the elevator doors and if I didn't know any better I would say that the doors are opening way too slow. Amara. Minerva hasn't said anything, but she has been pacing my mind since midnight and I know my friends are going through the same thing with their wolves. A part of me hopes that Mom is correct in her assumptions, but on the other hand I hope she is wrong. What if my second chance mate is the same as Damien or maybe even worse? I don't want to think about that, and the moment Minerva starts yelling mate, mate in my head, I sigh in relief, because I know who are on their way up. I also know they will never treat a female the way Damien did. I watch as the elevator doors open, and before I can say anything I see Theseus rush out in my direction. He stops right in front of me as I hear everyone around us mutter, "Fuck." He looks at me as he slowly lifts his hand towards my face. For a moment I think about running from him, for a moment I want to ask the goddess what kind of cruel sense of humor she has. I don't do either as I look into his eyes and I realize that Theseus is the better man out of the two brothers, that he doesn't make me feel uncomfortable like most males. I will never hurt you. I have been waiting so long for you and I will protect you with my last breath if I have to. He whispers as he places his hand against my cheek and I know he is sincere, he will never hurt me on purpose. I smile up at him as I place my hand on his hand. I let my eyes glide towards my friends and I burst out in laughter as I see Eos' thoughts have become true, we are all mated to one another. Ione with Ajax, Melia with Apollo, Eos with Xanthos and Rhea with Midas, and that leaves us with a huge problem in the form of Asteria and Inti. Theseus follows my line of sight and joins me in laughter as I hear Mom and Delia squeal in the background. Alpha Theseus, I know this might not be what you and your men want to hear, but I think it is best if we discuss a few things before you take this any further. My father says. My cheeks change into a few shades of red at his words, but I know that he is right and it looks like Theseus agrees with him as he slides his arm around my waist to guide me to our living room. Alp. Atlas, I think there are a few things that need to be cleared up. He says and I see Dad looking strangely at him. I apologize, I didn't know that you stepped down. It will take some time to get used to not refer to you as the Alpha anymore. Theseus says as he looks at Dad, and with that he confirms something we have suspected for a long time, he never read the notification from the council. Once we are all seated I see that Theseus is looking around the room and I ask him what he is looking for, I am wondering where your beta, gamma, and deltas are. He says and for a moment I don't know how to answer him, until I figure out he doesn't know that our entire leadership is made up out of females. In this room. I answer him as I look at him and I see confusion in his eyes. My dad's beta, gamma, and deltas all have a female as a firstborn and they took over from their fathers when I took over. I explain to him and for a moment he looks at me a bit dumbfounded. Sorry, I should have figured out that if your father handed over his position to you the entire leadership in your pack would be taken over by a firstborn. He says and I hear Melia giggle as I hear Apollo mutter fuck as it sinks into his brain that his mate is my gamma. Delia walks in with coffee and as she places it on the table she looks at Theseus, thank you for having my back last night, Alpha Theseus. She says before she walks over to Alastor. Delia, you are more than welcome and please drop the Alpha. He responds. A notification on his phone pulls his attention away from the rest of us for a moment and after he has read it he sighs in relief. Alpha Amara Chapter 28 History Lesson. Chapter 28 History Lesson. Theseus. The moment I lock eyes with her I know I have my work cut out for me and sarcastically I thank Damien in my head, making Linus growl in anger. I want to toss her over my shoulder and find the room she is staying in, but knowing what Damien did I stop right in front of her. Her smile lets me know that she believes me and when I see her cheeks flush at her father's words I know that he is right. We all need to talk about a lot before we take this further, but at least I know she won't reject me because of who my baby brother is. Linus purrs in my head as I feel her slide her arm around my waist on our way into the living room and I look around in surprise as I don't see her beta, gamma, and deltas present in the room. Her answer shouldn't have been a surprise, but it was and I smile the moment I hear Apollo. None of us had thought of the fact she might have taken every firstborn for her leadership and that means the leaderships of both packs are mated to one another, which might become a challenge on its own. However, I know we will work this out. I look at the message I received and I sigh in relief as I read that Joseph is on his way to Luna Maeve's pack. Sorry, this is something I needed to know. I will explain this in a little while, because we will get to that topic eventually. I say as I look at my mate. I am glad she didn't mind when I placed her on the couch next to me, and Linus has been staring at her through my eyes ever since we sat down. Before we start discussing everything we need to, I want to point out that I don't want any one of you to refer to me as Alpha Theseus, we are family after all. I say. We all agree that we will drop the titles, and as I look at Anthea I get this feeling I am going to get angry and frustrated before the day is over. Anthea, is there something you want to say? I ask her, and the look in her eyes tell me that she will answer a lot of my questions. Anthea. He deserves to know the truth, they all deserve to know the truth, and I am grateful for Atlas being there to help me through this. Theseus, what I am about to tell you is not known by many. Only my mate, his leadership, and Amara know the full story. I was born in Shadow Moon Pack as an Omega, and my life wasn't a pleasant one. I hear growls coming from everyone, and Atlas squeezes my hand. My Alpha believed that an Omega was worthless and could be used in any way he saw fit. I was 20 when our pack was hosting a full moon dance, and he had worked every Omega to the bone to make sure everything was perfect. The day before the dance, a few pack members from other packs had arrived, most of them high ranking. My Alpha had led them all by every Omega in the pack house, and one Alpha had shown an interest in me particularly. He was constantly watching me and made sure he was never far away from me, constantly smiling at me or touching me. We were woken up really early the next morning, and Rain, my wolf, was acting really strange, but she couldn't explain to me why. I was in the dining room setting everything up for breakfast when the Alpha showed up, and it didn't take him long to figure out that my wolf was giving me trouble. Now, you need to understand that as an Omega I was not educated properly on mates and the mate bond. All I knew was that my wolf would be acting strange if I ever was lucky enough to find my mate, it wasn't much for me to go on. He told me that my wolf was recognizing him as our mate, but that as an Omega wolf she wouldn't tell me as he was an Alpha, and my own Alpha backed his story up. I knew I would be busy for the rest of the day, so I just went back to work and tried to ignore Rain as best as I could. During the day more and more guests arrived, and his demeanor changed after three other Alphas arrived at the same time, but I didn't know what was going on between those Alphas. The closer to midnight it got, the more adamant he was in taking me to his room to complete the mate bond. Rain felt happy with his attention and was more than willing to agree with his suggestion, but for some reason I didn't feel comfortable. I told him I couldn't disappoint my Alpha or my pack, and I left him standing in the hallway. I made sure I didn't leave the ballroom again after that. My Alpha's daughter had her eyes on one of the Alphas that arrived together, and I was standing right behind her when both Alphas stepped in the room at the same time. She was counting down to midnight, and when she was done counting I smelled the most intoxicating scent I had ever smelled. I looked around her to see that the scent came from where the two Alphas were standing, and for a moment I thought he had been correct, that he was indeed my mate. It wasn't until Atlas started walking towards me that I figured out the truth. As you can imagine, my Alpha's daughter thought Atlas was coming for her, and you should have seen the look on her face when he pushed her out of his way to get to me. She looked as pissed off as the other Alpha did, and my Alpha even tried to convince Atlas to reject me. Atlas never took his eyes off me as he asked me for my name, and after I gave it to him he said, "I, Atlas, the future Alpha of White Crescent Pack, accept you, Anthea, as my mate and Luna." Which caused a lot of turmoil among the guests and pack members. Theseus, because of that event your father tore up the alliance between our packs. Not that it stopped us from keeping an eye on your western border, and I can't tell you how sorry I am we were unable to stop those rogues. I finish my story and I see that Amara is sitting on his lap. Theseus. Hearing Anthea tell me from which pack she came and how she was treated has Linus roaring in my head, and I know anger is radiating from my body. Linus and I calm down a lot the moment Amara crawls onto my lap and I bury my nose in her neck to inhale her scent. When she explains what Rain was going through, it reminded me of Linus over the past few hours, and I thought I had heard the worst of the story. How wrong was I in that assumption as I hear her say my father tore up the alliance because of that? Linus roars the moment it clicks in my head, my father was the other alpha. It is not a question, just stating a fact, and the look on her face tells me that I had figured it out correctly. He tore up the alliance because Atlas found his fated mate in a female he had wanted for himself. Anthea, I am sorry for what my father tried to do, and I think I already know the rest of the story. Your former alpha's daughter is my mother. I say, and she nods her head. What I don't understand is your remark on rogues. I continue, because I really don't understand it. Amara places her hand on my cheek to make me look at her. Our warriors have always kept an eye on that border, even though your father tore up the alliance, but it wasn't until after the rogues got onto your territory and killed your first mate that we found out it could have been prevented. They run our eastern border from north to south, but over the years they had gotten lazy and cut a corner from our eastern border to our southern border. That is where the rogues were able to cross your border and attack your mate and her friend. Dad has blamed himself for years that our warriors didn't see it, that they cut that corner during patrol, and even though I understand him, I think a part of the blame lies in your own border patrols. I have watched your western border for years and I have never been able to get a clear reading on it. She says. I think about what she told me and I know I blamed Atlas for years, but I know now that it is my father I should blame for it. If he hadn't tore up the alliance, we would have been in contact with White Crescent Pack and we would have coordinated our patrols together. Amara, if there is someone to blame, it is my father or maybe even me. I never changed anything about our patrol on the western border, not even after I lost Chrissy, and it should have opened my eyes. I say to her as I pull her a little closer to my chest. Theseus, after that unfortunate accident we changed our border patrols and we have taken down a lot of rogues that tried to cross your borders. Atlas states, and I am surprised when he tells me how they found out where it went wrong. Dad already scolded me back then for going out at night. Amara says the moment I want to open my mouth. Good, because if he hadn't I would have. I whisper in her ear, soft enough for only her to hear it. Alpha Amara Chapter 29, Little Crescent Pack. Chapter 29, Little Crescent Pack. Amara. At first I thought this was going to be very awkward with Damian being my first mate and Theseus as my second chance mate, but I feel comfortable with his arms wrapped around me. Minerva is laying in the back of my head, feeling content for the first time in years. For a while we sit in a comfortable silence as each of us is sipping their coffee, and I know Theseus didn't like it when I got off from his lap, but for the next topic we have to discuss I also want to see how his men react. I will wait until everyone has finished their coffee before I will bring up Asteria and Inti. Ione is the last one to place her cup on the table and I turn to face Theseus to tell him about Asteria. What is it, Amara? He asks, and I smile at the fact that he understands immediately that I have something important to tell him. There is something you need to know, but I need your word it won't leave this room. I say. Theseus and his men all swear that whatever it is I need to tell them will never be repeated outside this room, and I nod my head before I start talking. As you might understand, Minerva and I didn't handle Damian's rejection very well, not at all I might add. I spent my days locked in my room, and at night Minerva would run outside our borders to hunt down rogues. Their bodies would be found in the morning by our warriors, but none of them ever saw Minerva at night. On our second night Minerva caught a blood scent, but it didn't belong to a rogue. Theseus buries his nose in my neck. I tell them what I found in the clearing, and when I tell them what Asteria went through they all roar, "Amara, we will keep her safe. We will not reveal her whereabouts to anyone, especially not my father or Khonsu." Ajax responds, and I know her secret will be safe with them. What are you doing, gorgeous? I hear Xanthos ask, and I see Eos typing away on her tablet. She looks up at him with a smile on her face. Nothing much, just making sure that Asteria can finally come out of hiding. She says, and all of us stare at her, hoping for answers. Ever since we found Asteria I made sure we had an option to buy the clearing, just in case we ever had to, and I just received confirmation from the council that we are now the owners of the clearing between our packs. It kills two birds with one stone. She says with a smirk on her face. Apollo looks at Eos with a smile on his face, and I assume he figured out what she had meant with her words, Xanthos, you have one smart mate. Buying the clearing for White Crescent Pack would mean that you can keep Asteria and Inti safe. Apollo says as he looks at me. With all of us mated to one another, it makes combining our packs a lot easier, because we don't have to go through the process of buying the clearing anymore. He concludes as he looks at Eos and she is nodding her head enthusiastically. I am stunned. I didn't think of buying the clearing. Asteria could have lived a normal life if I had, and I tell Eos as much. Amara, only if we could give them a very good reason they would have considered letting us buy it, and telling them it was because of Asteria wasn't an option. Telling them you and Theseus are mated and will need the clearing to combine our packs is an option, which won't raise any questions. I did ask them to keep it quiet for the time being, as Theseus hasn't been able to inform his family yet. She answers. I hear Theseus growl softly as his men all chuckle. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall yesterday. I whisper in his ear and he bursts out in laughter, making everyone look at us. I can tell he is mind-linking someone, and I turn to Ajax when he clears his throat. Damian and Penelope were driven to her father's pack with the announcement that they are not allowed to visit unless Theseus has given his permission. He also told Damian he wouldn't let Joseph take over if he died without an heir. He would much rather hand it over to you or Alastor, than give Damian the chance to influence Joseph. I stare at Theseus and the look in his eyes tells me that Ajax is telling us the truth. Thanks, but no thanks for the offer, Theseus. Alastor blurts out, and I am in stitches at the look on his face. The ding from the elevator doors pulls our attention away from Alastor, and Mom grabs Delia's arm as she gets up. That will be lunch, I think we will need it to continue this conversation. She says as they walk into the hallway. I look at my friends with a smile on my face. This is a sight I will never tire of. There is so much I want to ask Theseus, but Mom is right. We need some food before we go looking for more answers, and I know Theseus will have some questions of his own, maybe even some of his men will have questions. I snuggle a little deeper into Theseus' side as I keep looking at my friends. How are you feeling, sweetheart? I hear my father ask over the mind link, and I smile as I think of how to answer him. I feel fine, Dad. I know Theseus was telling me the truth when he said he would never hurt me. He is nothing like Damian or his father. I know we need this time to get everything out in the open. We both deserve answers, and knowing I will not run into Damian anytime soon is a plus. I answer him. Alastor, why would you decline my offer to take over my pack? Theseus asks him, and I place a hand over my mouth to try and hide my laughter. Alastor looks at Theseus with a grumpy expression on his face, and I know he will tell him the truth. No way in hell will I spend the rest of my life cooped up in an office dealing with paperwork or listening to alphas cackle about how important they are. I'd rather die of natural causes. He says, and everyone is rolling in the aisles at his admission. Delia walks into the room with a huge smile on her face, and I know she heard Alastor's response to Theseus' question. She tells us lunch is served in the dining room, and Theseus interlaces his fingers with mine the moment we get off the couch to walk out of the living room. Theseus and I walk to the head of the table, and I think I might have insulted my mate the moment I sit down. After all, the chair I am sitting in is officially the chair of the Alpha. Which we both are, and that causes Dad to bellow with laughter, while Midas pulls back the chair next to me, and the glint in his eyes tells me he is up to no good. Please, sit down. He says as he looks at Theseus, and he allows for a short silence before he says, Luna. Mom turns her back on us while Xanthos, Apollo, and Rhea don't do anything to hide their laughter. Delia buries her face in Alastor's chest, and the rest try to keep a straight face. Theseus sits down in the chair and faces me with a serious face. Amara, did you plan on training today? He asks, and I know that no matter what my answer will be, Midas is in trouble. Well, I had planned on a little training. After all, I still have a few alphas to put in their place, and I can only do that if I keep up with my schedule, I state. Everyone remains silent, but instead of saying anything, Theseus asks me what I would like to eat, and I decide to follow his lead. He places some food on my plate before he fills up his own plate, and soon everyone is enjoying their lunch, while we try to keep the conversation light. We are nearly done with lunch when Theseus brings up my training again. Why did you decide to play capture the flag in the clearing? He asks, and I see that his men would like to know as well. I might be 5'11 and with that pretty tall for a female, but most alphas are taller. Let's also keep in mind that they are bulky, which everyone can tell I am not, and for that reason I need to be faster. I throw a mean punch, as you have seen, but in order for me to deliver those punches I need to be able to avoid them myself, and with trying to avoid my own warriors I increased my speed. Most of my warriors are better trained than most of the alphas I face to face, so I figured if I could avoid my own warriors those alphas would be a walk in the park. I answer him and I see a smug look on his face. Midas is cuddling with Rhea and doesn't see the look Theseus is giving him. I will ask one of the elders if you can use one of the side fields to train tonight, and Midas volunteered to be your sparring partner. He says, and I see Rhea tries her best not to laugh at the expense of her mate, but she can't hold in her laughter. Midas is staring between Theseus and me with a very concerned look on his face, and Eos puts everyone in stitches when she says, "Just try to avoid his groin for Rhea's sake." I bury my face in Theseus' chest as he pulls me onto his lap while I hear him laugh. Once we have calmed down, I help Mom and Delia clear off the table before we head back to the living room. We still need to discuss a few things, and I know that the most difficult subjects are out of the way, or at least I think they are, unless of course there is something Theseus needs to know. Theseus asks about the alliance once I sit down next to him, and Dad tells him the details of the alliance there once was between our packs. It turns out that even when the alliance was still in place he hadn't been honest about the details, and I have to do my best to calm Theseus down. I know his wolf is the one I need to calm down, but as long as we haven't marked each other, Minerva can't tell me his name, and I think it will be easier calming both of them down if I know his wolf's name. Theseus, can you tell me the name of your wolf? I ask him and I smile when he tells me his name is Linus. Alpha Amara Chapter 30 Unraveling. Chapter 30 Unraveling. Amara. Ajax tells us that Daemon always told everyone that we took responsibility for their western border, and Dad growls if the moron lost his mind along the way. Apollo explains their border patrols, and all of us realize quickly that they had left their western border exposed for years. Thank you for keeping an eye on our border all these years, Amara. We could have lost more pack members if you and your warriors hadn't. Apollo says, and suddenly we hear Delia cussing and swearing. Alastor has a worried look on his face, and for a moment I think her mother reached out to her, but then I see her phone on the table. Delia, what is going on? Apollo asks he, and for a moment I think she won't speak up, but Theseus beats me to the punch. Delia, I know how you grew up, and I want you to know that I want to hear what you have to say. Please, tell us what that was about. He says. Before I do that, I would like you to answer a question. She says, and Theseus tells her she can ask him anything. She surprises all of us when she asks him if he ever blamed Dad for what happened to his mate. Delia, for a few years I did, and I think you know why I did. However, Xanthos was the one to point out that rogues even evaded our own patrols from time to time, and I realized he was right. Just running patrol isn't a guarantee that rogues will never be able to cross into your territory. He answers, and Delia gives him a small smile. I want you to think about what I am going to say before you tell me whether or not he would be capable of being this ruthless. If Amara, Ione, Melia, Rhea, and Eos had not figured out why those rogues were able to cross into your territory and their patrols had not changed, how many rogues would have been able to cross into your territory? What if it was your father's intention to leave that border weak in the hopes to pin it on White Crescent Pack? What if he hoped losing your mate and a few more pack members after that would cause a war between both packs? She asks, and I am stunned into silence. I look at Theseus to see him debating with Linus, and I can tell Apollo is debating with his wolf as well, while Ajax, Xanthus and Midas just stare at Delia. I wonder if his father would be this cruel to his own pack members, just because mom was dad's fated mate. If his father was this cruel, how would the pack react if this ever came out? Would they ask Theseus to banish his own father? Would they demand that he turns his own father a rogue, or would they allow Theseus to find him a pack that was willing to accept him? So many questions and right now so little answers. Delia, thank you for voicing your thoughts. I don't think I would have been able to go down that road if you had not asked me to, and I am grateful you pointed this out to me. Yes, I think my father is ruthless enough to put our pack in harm's way. Yes, I think he would have pushed me towards war if it hadn't been for Amara, Ione, Melia, Rhea, and Eos. Before today I would have told you no way in hell, but knowing what he tried to do to Anthea and what he did with the Alliance because of it, my answer is yes. He finally answers her. I can feel it is costing him a lot to keep control over Linus, and I crawl back onto his lap before I take his face in both my hands. Linus, calm down. We will deal with Damon when the time is right, but right now we have other things to think about. I say. Linus stares at me as I talk to him, and I understand he wants to know what else we need to talk about. One of the things we have to think about is my next match. I am going to let you in on a little secret, but promise me you will stay calm. I say. What is this little secret, my alpha? He growls, and I actually giggle at his use of my title. I knew who my opponents were for my first two matches, and I know that my name will always be drawn second. I don't need an advantage, I know I can beat those other alphas, and I will enjoy putting them in their place. I don't know who I will be up against next, but I hope I will get a chance to kick the ass of Shadow Moon's alpha. He tore up our alliance when I took over, and it was an alliance my grandfather never wanted, but had to broker to get my grandparents and my aunt out of there. I hope I get a chance to kick the ass of every alpha that tore up our alliance because I take over, and that means I hope that Black Claw Pack and Blackstone Pack will survive today, because like me the alpha of Shadow Moon Pack didn't have to fight today. I tell him, and I seems I was successful to take his mind of Damon. Theseus. Has this mate of mine lost her mind? How was she able to know who she would go up against in the first two matches, and most importantly, why would she want to go up against those alphas? For payback. Like our father, they believe a female is worthless, but we have always known their train of thought was wrong and outdated. I may not like her fighting in this competition, but she can hold her own as she has already proven, and I will be cheering her on during every match she has to fight. You better let Adamus know he will be in charge for a little while longer. Linus responds, and I know he is right. I don't want to know how you rigged the draw, just know that Linus and I are proud of what you did. Linus and I will cheer you on during every match, and we will stay here until you are out of the competition or until the final match. I say as I look into her eyes, I need her to know that I am not going anywhere. I look around the room at every person sitting here, and I know I am surrounded by some very smart wolves. There is something I would like to discuss with all of you, because I think together we can find an answer to a challenge I am facing. As Ajax explained, Damian and Penelope are back at her father's pack. Two of my warriors drove them there, and along the way Joseph, their son, asked a question. He wanted to know why Amara was so angry with his father, and both my warriors knew what had happened between the two of you. I say as I look at my mate. Neil told him the truth, and he didn't say another word after that. My men and I know what it means when Joseph is like that. It means he is processing the information, and he knows that it is not good information. After they got to his grandfather's pack, he was in the living room with Luna Maeve. I see a smirk appear on Anthea's face the moment I mention her name. If Joseph decides after processing the information someone was wronged, he throws a tantrum that is worse than a male to lose control of his wolf. He had asked Luna Maeve what could happen after a rejection, and when she told him it would hurt the wolf and the human, he lost it. He called me with what I assume was Harver's phone. Harver is Penelope's brother, and he told me he didn't want them as parents. He said if I wouldn't let him come home, he would run away. I hear gasps from the females and I pull Amara into my chest as I see that Minerva is front and center. Luna Maeve was able to convince Damian and Penelope to let Joseph go with her, and I know she played on Alpha Elias' weak spot to get him on her side. Alpha Elias hates someone creating a ruckus, and a five-year-old throwing tantrums is something he can do without. I want and need Joseph out of there. I know everyone saw what I saw when he called me, and that is that he already has his wolf present. I don't know when Griffin showed up, but he was very present when I talked to Joseph and Luna Maeve. I tell them while I pull Amara tighter to my chest. Amara has her face in my neck and I can feel her inhaling my scent deep to calm herself and Minerva down. Slowly but steadily I feel her relax, and as I look at my men I see their mates do the same. The same goes for Delia and Anthea. Dad, can you call Elder Ezra? I will call Evander and ask if he can help me get in contact with one of the council members. Amara says after she pulled away from me a little. I listen to her as she is on the phone with Evander, and it seems that she is in luck as he tells her he is with the council at the moment. Evander, can you put me on speaker? I want every council member to be able to hear me. It only takes seconds before she starts explaining in big lines what happened, but she goes into detail the moment she gets to Joseph. What can we do for Joseph, council members? She asks, and because of my wolf I can hear them loud and clear. Alpha Amara, a pup like Joseph needs a very secure and disciplined upbringing or he will become an unstable and angry grown wolf. From what we have heard, his parents can't provide that for him, and I understand if you need to think about what I am about to ask you, but this is the best solution under these circumstances. Is there a possibility that Alpha Theseus and you are willing to raise him? I hear one of the council members ask, and my first instinct is to yell no, but Amara answers before I can even tell her we should discuss this.